Hi, folks. Be sure to visit my website at dr-history.com for a short personal video message, to listen to the latest stories, and to leave a comment.
Dr. History.
Good morning, Zeb.
Hi, buddy.
Beautiful day out there. Oh, sunshine.
We deserve this.
We do.
Yeah.
After last week, yeah, this is great.
I had my car, just think 48 hours ago. 48 hours ago, I was sitting there with a bandana and a Carhartt on. I'm telling you, it was cold.
Well, last week we went up in the mountains Tuesday night, and it snowed over here at Rock Creek.
Man, jingle bells.
Yeah,
jingle
it was,
bells.
But it warmed up.
So have you got some thank yous?
I do. I want to say thank you to Ian, who lives in East Brunswick, New Jersey.
Really? I've been there.
Have you?
Yeah.
And anyway, he goes for walks every day, and he listens to our show, and he especially liked the one about Little Joe. So
Little Joe the Wrangler that wasn't.
That wasn't Little Joe. Stop. So today, Zeb, I'm going to step out on a limb.
Yeah, you do that quite often. You're like an old buzzard anyway.
I know it. So I'm going to talk about something which I don't know much about.
Oh, this ought to be interesting.
Yeah, tobacco.
Oh.
Okay. And so, anyway.
Why did you choose this?
I don't know. It's just, it's interesting and hopefully educational. So, listeners out there, if you have corrections or thoughts, just get on my webpage and send me an email.
This ought to be really good.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, no, I've got some good information here, Zeb.
Oh, I'll bet you do.
I do. So, tobacco was first discovered by the Native American people in America and South America, and then they introduced it to Europe and the rest of the world. That's where it started. And archaeological finds indicate that humans in the Americas began using tobacco as far back as 12,300 years ago.
Really?
Which is many thousands of years before they thought that it really was. So that's what the archaeologists have found.
Did they roll their windows down before they spit?
Probably.
Okay.
Tobacco had already been long used in the Americas by the time the European settlers arrived and took the practice back to Europe, where it became very popular. Now, the Eastern North American tribes have historically carried tobacco in pouches as a readily accepted trade item, as well as smoking it in pipe ceremonies.
Did you ever figure out, I mean, don't mean to take your time, but how they looked at a plant or a product and said, oh, gee, we'll call that tobacco and we'll start smoking it.
Yeah, and they probably didn't call it tobacco. They probably had a name for it or something, but it was used to trade, you know, like bartering,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
So, but they would use it in pipe ceremonies, sacred ceremonies, or to seal an agreement or a treaty. So pipe smoking was a way of sealing the deal, so to speak. Okay.
Why wouldn't they just have started with a bunch of old leaves that fell off the tree?
They may have, and found that didn't work.
Yeah, not good.
Well, in addition to its use in spiritual and religious ceremonies, tobacco is also used for medical treatment of physical conditions as a painkiller. It's been used for earache, toothache, occasionally as a poultice. Some have used tobacco as one ingredient in smoking mixtures for treating colds. Usually it is mixed with leaves of the desert sage. Tobacco was also used as a form of currency, as I mentioned, between Native Americans and the colonists from the 1620s.
The big leaves?
Yeah, well, I guess. When I say they used it as a form of currency, I don't know if it's after it was dried and used as, you know, to smoke or maybe as the large plant. But religion.
I can just see him waiting for. Here comes Philip Morris.
Oh, we're going to talk about him.
Oh, brother.
Religious uses of tobacco is still common among the Cree and the another tribe. I don't know how to say this. Ojibwe of Canada.
Another Indian tribe.
A tribe. Ojibwe of Canada.
Believe me. So, may I just make a suggestion?
Don't
leave it alone.
Just leave. Okay. I will not say that again. But up in Canada, north central United States, and it is offered to the Creator with prayers and is used in sweat lodges, pipe ceremonies, and is presented as a gift. So it had a lot of importance among the Native Americans.
Hmm.
So, But the first Europeans to see tobacco smoked were the sailors of Columbus, and they witnessed ritual smoking procedures in the Caribbean. That's where they first saw it. The Indian packed his pipe with raw tobacco, set fire to it, and then, according to this article, the shock came. And
I'm not sure. What do you mean by that?
I don't know. We'll just keep going. How's that? So very early, smoking pipes, had a Y-shaped tip to their stem. The smoker stuck the twin stems up his nose and inhaled.
Up his nose?
Yeah. After about a half dozen sniffs, he collapsed out cold.
If you think I'm going to make a comment, I'm not.
Okay. Some unknown genius later decided that it was easier to hold the end of the pipe in the mouth and puff, leaving the hands free, so you didn't have to snuff it up your nose.
You're kidding me.
So, you know, inventors, they come along. You know,
is that where that statement the kids always used to say, up your nose with a dirty hose?
I don't know. Oh. It could have been. But tobacco had come a long way by the time the great westward push across America began. It was blended, classified, and as often as not, cased in sauces made of various sweetening agents.
Wait a minute. They put tobacco in that?
Yeah, including honey, licorice or fruit juices, and many cigars were actually cured in wine, which makes for a sweet chew and a mild smoke.
That I knew about.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Now, the frontiersmen smoked a pipe or cigars. They chewed or dipped snuff. Cigarettes were not respectable, being considered sissified, although others smoked corn chuck roll-your-owns for centuries. They can be made easily using dried corn. They say corn shuck. I would say corn husk, right?
Yeah.
Corn husk. And Bull Durham or a similar tobacco rolled up in this corn husk.
Some of this stuff sounds pretty powerful.
Yeah. So it says you have to hold them together and keep the lit end pointed up. Otherwise, the cigarette will come apart since you can't make a corn shuck stick to itself by licking it like you would a paper, you know. The end tends to fall off and fall into your lap or wherever.
Yeah, that could be very, very disheartening.
Yes. Now, snuff. Gentlemen carried their snuff in small boxes which fit a waistcoat pocket quite nicely. You can suck on the stuff, chew it, poke it up your nose, or in a pinch, pack a pipe with it and smoke. Now, Zeb, I'm going to show you something.
Okay.
Look at my hand here.
Yeah.
Okay, see this right here?
Yeah, that indentation?
You know what that's called?
It's called an indentation.
The anatomical snuff box.
Wait a minute. Have I got one?
Yeah, you do.
Oh, yeah, right there.
So they would put snuff in that little indentation.
Let me see yours.
See that?
Holy cow.
Between your thumb, at the upper end of your thumb.
I don't have that.
By your wrist. Well, you wouldn't be able to do that then.
No.
You'd have to just snuff it.
I'm going to be healthier than you.
That's true. So, anyway, chewing tobacco came in a plew, which is a measurement. It came in a plew, a rope, or a cable twist. It was generally heavily cased. This was commercial stuff, of course, and it took a mighty man to chew the raw tobacco.
Oh.
A plew.
Don't swallow.
don't, yeah. A plew was originally a beaver skin's value of tobacco. That's what a plew was. But later became what they called a plank of tobacco, about 1/2 inch thick, 3 inches wide, and 18 inches to 3 feet long.
Wow.
You could buy the plew, of course, but most people bought a plug. Okay.
Is that what Josie Wales had in the movie?
I think so, yeah. A plug, which was a chunk about 3 inches long, chopped off the plew. And they had a guillotine-like little instrument called a tobacco cutter, and that was a fixture in all the general stores for years. It cut the tobacco and occasionally little children's fingers, because they would stick them
in. Yeah.
Not good.
Yeah. You're a morbid doctor.
A rope was just that, a rope of tobacco wound around a stick and sold by the foot. It could be chewed or shaved and smoked in a pipe. Cable twist was rope twisted over itself with the ends bound together. The average cable contained about as much tobacco as a plug. So, not a huge amount.
Yeah.
You know. So the chewer generally bit off a chew or a chaw by clamping his teeth on it and working it loose, or if he was finicky, he cut off a piece with his knife. Now, most of these chewers didn't use their knives since the casing around the tobacco leaves was kind of a gooey substance.
To hold it together?
Yeah, and it left a residue on the blade of your knife, and so they didn't like to use their knife to cut it.
So they just bit it.
So they just take a bite and chew till they got...
Well, I think Josie in the movie, Clint Eastwood, I think he just reached in his pocket and bit off a piece.
Yeah. But... It says that very few chewers swallowed the tobacco juice.
Oh.
And I can't imagine not.
Well, you've really upset people's lunch today, yeah. I'll tell you.
Now, smokers of cigars didn't have much variety. There were three standard shapes. A panatella, called the long nine, a banker, or perfecto type, a super with a pigtail on the end to hold it together, and a cigarillo, which was a short cigar shaped and smelling like old rope.
Now, that first one, you said it was 9 inches long?
Yeah, the long nine, the Panatella. So this was the original stogie, okay, what they called the short stick, short six. This was the original stogie, short for Conestoga. Did you know that?
No.
From the Conestoga wagons.
Really?
It's got its name either from the fact that it was the first variety to come west in the big wagons, or because wagon drivers preferred it. You know, the Conestoga wagons.
Wow.
Conestoga. But, so opinions differ as to that. But they sold for about two for a penny. Other cigars ranged from $4 or $5 a thousand and up for domestic brands to $20 or so a thousand for the Cuba-made Havanas. So I guess Cuban cigars were, I guess, the premier, the best or something
really?
Like that. I guess, yeah.
Okay.
But cigars, by the way, had a solid, unperforated head. You bit the end off or cut it off with a knife or a cigar cutter, which hung usually on a man's watch chain.
Really?
So they were dangerous, these little choppers, since they automatically lopped the end off of anything poked into them. Fingers,
yeah.
Cigars,
okay.
Little children's.
Did Clint Eastwood in The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, did he smoke a cigarillo? Or what was it?
You know, he was in one of those that he did smoke like a long, thin, probably was that cigarillo.
I see.
Now, pipes, books have been written on each type of pipe ever created, and, you know, there's just a lot of information about them, but they might have been made from clay, porcelain, or something called meerschaum.
Oh, those are those big white, big pipes. Meerschaum pipes.
Yeah, it's made from a mineral, like a silicone.
Yeah,
or a silicone.
I've seen those. Some of them are pretty fancy.
Yeah, or they could be made from wood or stone or metal or a corn cob.
Yeah.
You know, porcelain or meerschaum and metal are not very good candidates for the frontiersman's pipe. The porcelain and the meerschaum would shatter easily if you dropped them and, you know, if it hit a rock or something.
Yeah.
And clay gets hot and it shatters easily. But a clay pipe cost about a nickel in the 1800s, and it was available almost anywhere. Wood pipes were cheap or could be carved easily. But
Wait a minute. If you had a wood pipe, wouldn't it burn up?
You know, that's the question that came to my mind when I saw, but they were cheap, so you could go through them. They were cheap, and they could be carved easily, but they did get soggy and sour and, as you mentioned, burned out quickly.
Uh-huh.
Now, Indian pipestone was cheap, and it was available. Anybody with a corn cob, a hollow reed, and a pocket knife could make one. Even if you couldn't make a cob pipe, you could take a tip from the Cheyennes and use the aorta from a buffalo's heart as a tobacco pipe.
Where did they come up with all this stuff?
I don't know. Now, that kind of sounds sickening a little bit, but apparently it worked because the burnt aorta band of the Northern Cheyenne got the name from this practice. Now, I had never heard of the burnt aorta band of Indians.
Evidently, I haven't either.
No. Now, pipe tobacco came in just about as many varieties as it does today. The granulated, ribbon cut, shag cut, chunk cut were popular.
Careful.
And this was solid pipe tobacco, which came in plugs, rope, cable, twist, or chewing tobacco.
That was a big deal, wasn't it?
It was. So, and then plug tobacco was shaved into the pipe with a pocket or penknife, and you can approximate this by drawing unwrapped chewing tobacco in the sun for about 10 days, then shaving it, which I'm not going to do. Actually, plug, rope, and cable twist pipe tobacco were the most popular types. They did not pulverize when carried for long distances in a pants pocket.
That's what I was going to ask you about, transporting all this tobacco.
Yeah. But cigarettes reached a popular acceptance after the Civil War. They carried it in a little Muslim sack. And Bull Durham attached the little packet of papers, you know, so they could roll their own. And the name and the picture of a bull came from Durham's Mustard, which was an English product. The original papers were the brown kind called wheat straw, not those white papers that you see on TV where they roll up a white one.
Really?
Originally, it was this brown kind of paper-like stuff. But of all the imitators of Bull Durham, including Dime Durham, Pride of Durham, Duke of Durham, and dozens more, only Duke's mixture seems to have weathered the storm. They have these little tin cans. You
know, yeah, and then it went on to be famous as a movie.
Bull, yes. Yeah. So, okay, where was I?
With Bull Durham.
Yeah, then you got the Walter Raleigh, the Prince Albert.
That's what my dad used to smoke in his pipe.
Prince Albert?
Prince Albert.
You know, my father-in-law smoked a pipe, and it really had a nice, a pleasant smell.
It was a good smell, yeah.
Yeah. But most tobacco was carried in the containers. It came in at first. But the paper boxes in the days before foil and wax paper didn't last long, in summer particularly. Leather pouches, seldom with rubber liners and never with zippers, which weren't even invented, came in early. But little silver or hard leather canteens were used in the far southwest and all along the border, and they seemed to have come out of Mexico. You had to have a way to preserve the tobacco and stuff,
yeah.
So it didn't get wet or whatever. But
nothing worse than a soggy pipe.
That's right. Tailor-mades or tight rolls didn't get a boost in this country until the Philadelphia Centennial Exposition of 1876. And I'm not sure what a tailor-made or a tight roll is, unless that's just an actual cigarette.
You got
me. Does that sound?
You've got me. I don't know.
Help me out, folks, if I'm not sure.
I'm not a tobacco.
I tried to look it up, and I couldn't even find it.
Okay.
But, after World War One, things, they weren't really socially accepted until the late 1920s, cigarettes.
Really?
Roll your owns have continued in popularity to the present. And this article is taken from Frontier Times in 1964. So I don't think roll-your-owns are even available today. I don't know.
I don't know. I've seen some old-timers roll their
still
own cigarettes.
Yeah. But, hand-building a smoke is no means... it's a trick, being able to do it. And most handmades, they say, are thinner than a small pencil and have a twist at each end to hold them together. Along with the famous lick down the paper.
Yep.
Real experts can build a cigarette of the same length and diameter as a standard, regular size, tailor-made, or I guess regular cigarette.
Yeah.
And all handmade smokes are called Quirlies.
Quirlies?
Quirlies.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I had never heard that term before.
Huh.
And, you see pictures of these cowboys up on their horse and, rolling and licking and with one hand, almost. But granulated tobacco rolls best, but has a tendency to dribble out the lit end along with the fire, with disastrous results for clothes, furniture, or bare skin.
Yeah, buddy.
Ribbon-cut tobacco doesn't have this at disadvantage, but it's harder to roll.
Did they smoke at nudist colonies?
Zeb, I'm not even going to answer that. And to finish up our today, pipes, cigars, cigarettes, snuff, chewing tobacco, take your pick, the old-timers dipped, puffed, or chewed with equal vigor. Where did we go from there, Zeb?
Well, I guess, you never did answer my question.
And I'm not going to.
Okay.
I'm done.
Okay. We're toast.
Yes.
We burned up the pipe.
We've lost all of our listeners.
I'm sorry, but inquiring minds wanted to know.
Well, some inquiring minds, not mine.
You gotta
that's
have
the story of tobacco in the Old West. The sad thing is that, you know, with the knowledge we have now about tobacco, you know, and chewing, obviously the health risks are there, the chewing, you know, the cancers that come from chewing. And I remember years ago, as a physician, I did a lot of physicals for athletes.
Yep.
And I had a young boy come in for a football physical, and I went to have him open his mouth so I could check his throat, and he had a chew of tobacco between his lip and his gum. And I said, "What in the heck have you got there?" Well, I knew what it was. And he says, "Well," he said, "my brother says that all athletes, all baseball players chew tobacco." I said, "They do not." And I just kind of railed on him.
Yeah.
You know, said, no.
Well, and you probably, in all honesty, saved his life.
Well, I would hope I got the message across to
absolutely.
Him.
Absolutely. Well, Dr. History, even though you were afraid to discuss that one question, I thank you very much on your history and walkthrough of tobacco. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.